Welcome, 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 beloved listeners, to the Little Wireless Program. This which comes tonight with the endorsement of both Noam Chomsky and Naomi Klein. This is because we'll be discussing a new book on the war of drugs, which comes with their enthusiastic support and indeed my own. But first of all, it's time to whiz over to a storm-battered New Haven to speak to Bruce Shapiro. And Bruce, let's begin our little chat tonight by continuing the celebrations regarding a certain journalist who's escaped Egypt.
Indeed, Peter Gresta, congratulations to you and to your family, any who are listening. You know, this has been an extraordinary 400-day saga that a lot of my colleagues here in the U.S. have paid very close attention to. Columbia Journalism School, the faculty wrote a letter in support. The Dart Center that I run has been involved in kind of banging around for this, the release of Peter and his colleagues. And we are all ecstatic. I was also so deeply moved by Al Jazeera's interview with Peter yesterday, in which he displayed something that we talk about in the abstract, resilience, in such vivid and deeply moving words, talking about how he got through the last year and the solidarity he feels with his colleagues left behind. We are all thinking of you, Peter Gresta, and we are all celebrating your release.
And doesn't he have a wonderful family? And then the parents, et al.
He does indeed. Joris and Lois Gresta, who I know listen to LNL from time to time, and his siblings have all fought so hard for the last year with such tenacity. It's safe to say that, you know, they're a big part of why this case is finally coming to an end.
But we must pick up where Peter's left off and continue to focus on those who haven't been as fortunate.
Well, indeed. First of all, his two immediate colleagues, Bahar Muhammad and Mr. Shami, both of whom are still in, although Mr. Shami may, as a Canadian citizen, be on his way home. Other Al Jazeera colleagues, Egypt is still a singularly repressive place at the moment, turning its back on its own traditions with the jailing of these Al Jazeera journalists and so many others. We hope, you know, and fight for an end to this period of repression in Egypt's history.
Okay, before we launch into the next story, how cold is it in New Haven at the moment?
It is brass monkey season here. It is about minus 12 Celsius, and that came in on the back of about 8 inches of snow covered by a little thin coating of ice pellets. So it is definitely winter here, and I am definitely wishing I was in Sydney today.
But at least it proves that all that left-wing nonsense about global warming can be now totally disregarded.
Clearly. We are in the middle, if anything, of global freezing here. 2 weeks in a row of snowstorms, another one supposedly coming this weekend. Forget it. Who cares about science? You
know? I'm going to raise now – well, I want to talk about another aspect of science. I want to raise the issue of measles.
Oh, man. Is it getting entertaining here in the medical science meets politics realm? You know, we've had this little outbreak of measles here in the U.S., starting at Disneyland, about 100 cases around the country. And in the middle of this, suddenly yesterday, Chris Christie, governor of New Jersey and presidential candidate, Rand Paul, a libertarian Republican senator from Kentucky and likely presidential candidate, both weighed in against mandatory vaccinations for children. We have, as most countries do now, a law saying you can't send your kids to school if they aren't vaccinated. And Chris Christie said, well, it really should be up to the parents. And Rand Paul went even further and said that There are people walking around with mental disorders because of vaccinations.
You're not serious. He didn't.
Rand Paul is a physician, an ophthalmologist, it should be said, and there is not a shred of scientific evidence for this. But, you know, there's really two things going on here. On the surface, there is a powerful libertarian undercurrent in the Tea Party, and there are anti-vaccination activists, both right and left, who are small in number but very emotional. And to be fair to Paul and Chris Christie, in 2008, even Barack Obama made some slightly supportive remarks about vaccination skepticism, which he since has backed off of and now says everybody should be vaccinated. But there is this libertarian Tea Party strain, and this is an attempt to play to that. But in the background, I think there's something else, and that's the looming shadow of the thing that both Paul and Christie really want to be inoculated against, and that's Jeb Bush. You know, Jeb Bush, when he was governor of Florida, won a kind of lifetime pass from the far right by intervening in the case of Terri Schiavo,
which we discussed at some length last night, by coincidence.
I won't summarize again. But let's just say that while the libertarian right that is against vaccination, the far anti-science right that's against vaccination, and the right to life right are not necessarily the same folks. They are united by this powerful appeal to emotion and by the anti-scientific bias. And I think that Rand Paul and Chris Christie both would like to get some little piece of the credit and support that Jeb Bush has earned from the anti-science wing of the Republican Party. And that's what's really going on here.
Okay. Incidentally, one of the great advocates or one of the great opponents to vaccination, an American woman whose name escapes me, was to do a victory lap here in Australia, but the reaction, the indignation about the visit was so overwhelming that she's opted out, claiming that perhaps her life was in danger, as it is, of course, if you don't get vaccinated.
Well, I got to say this. You know, there is what the historian Richard Hofstadter famously called the paranoid style in American politics, this strain of fear of conspiracies of all kinds. And from time to time, it does bubble up as fear of science, as fear of disease. You have in the 1950s the fear of fluoridation of water, which the John Birch.
I'm for that. I think fluoridation's a communist plot.
Well, clearly. And, you know, Stanley Kubrick made great fun of this in Dr. Strangelove, when one of his characters gets obsessed about his precious bodily fluids. You know, there is this strain in American life, and we are seeing the various paranoid strains of American politics circling around the current field of Republican candidates in a big way. It's going to be an entertaining few months here.
It reminds me of the fact that I mentioned that tonight's program is under the auspices of Chomsky and Klein. It's also under the auspices of Rand Paul, because as I'll be explaining in the next story when I talk to Johan Hari about the war on drugs, this is a book that Rand Paul's people are very enthusiastic about. God, he's unpredictable.
Well, he is. Look, Rand Paul is an interesting left meets right kind of guy on some of these issues. He is a libertarian, and so he has been among the conservative critics of the war on drugs. That makes him interesting to non-traditional people who wouldn't traditionally support Republicans. He's also skeptical of U.S. intervention abroad as a libertarian, as the heir to his father, Congressman Ron Paul's anti-war stance. The problem is that beneath it, I don't know how to put this. Beneath it, he still hews to some very strange and indeed not very smart ideas, so that the kind of right meets left libertarianism sooner or later runs up against the Rand Paul who, you know, argues against measles vaccination as if there's any science in the world that says there you can get mental disorders from it.
Bruce, we've only got a short time left, but I'd like to ask you, why do you think the Justice Department decided to drop its criminal investigation of News Corp?
Well, this is so interesting. You know, for now several years, the Justice has been looking under the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act at the hacking case to see if there are any American links. We don't really know why. We know that the Justice Department says it is dropping the case for now, but will revive it if there's any new evidence. My guess is that it has to do with the transition in Attorney General, that the incoming Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, who has yet to be confirmed but had very positive hearings this week, possibly sees this as a personal project of Jeffrey Holder, without Holder in the Attorney General's spot. The kind of the momentum for this investigation may have run its course. And look, they may have simply not found the evidence needed for an indictment. I'm sure that's the case, but clearly, there is a desire to let it go now that Holder is coming to the end of his term.
I've got to let it go too now, Bruce, because we're going to switch to our war on drugs story. Bruce Shapiro, columnist with The Nation, executive director of the Dart Center for Journalism and Trauma at Columbia University, and this is a little wireless program called Len and L on RN.